Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There was funky Chinamen from funky Chinatown.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show of the champions, the local comic book shop, broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. Chris, thanks to us.
Thanks to us.
And podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And this week, Chris, we're proud and excited to
have... I feel very special right now. I feel like I'm honored. I've got, you know, things that are tingling that shouldn't be tingling.
Wow, that's a little too much information, but we're joined by comic aficionado Paul Cellini. Paul, welcome to the show.
You're not ashamed?
We're excited.
Be ashamed? No,
we're excited, Paul. We're excited to have you on. Now, Paul, you are what you're bringing to the show. Not only is your handsomeness, but you're also bringing you're also bringing a wealth of knowledge in comic books, which is this show dearly needs, to tell you the truth.
Yes.
An accomplished, I was going to say magician, but that's not true, even though I don't know that.
He might be.
Accomplished musician, and because a little bit later today, we're going to talk about music and comics as a thing. So welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Yeah, now, Paul.
Pleasure being here.
We start the show every week with Chris. What he does is he takes a sampling of comics that are hitting the new this week stand. So, today being Wednesday, new comic day or whatever it is, if you go into your local comic book shop, you'll find some of this stuff. So Chris is going to have his critique on some of them. And new this week is brought to you by Free Comic Book Day.
As it should be.
Yeah,
that's this weekend.
They've booked the whole show.
Perfect.
Free Comic Book Day is this weekend. Please go out and support your local comic book shop on Free Comic Book Day.
All right. Listen, as you said, we have new comics this week. And, of course, the one I got to start out with today is Avengers number one, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Number one, actually, legacy numbering, number 691, but they're going back to the well. Starting is at number one again. And the reason why I'm picking this...
Hold on.
Why are you going to interrupt me?
Well, I don't... This doesn't make sense.
Here we go again.
How can last year...
Yeah.
...Marvel trumpet the legacy renumbering so loudly? Oh, my God, we're going back to legacy renumbering. How can Marvel... with Avengers, be so close to issue number 700,
right?
9 issues away, now 8, and still go back to a number 1.
They're going back to number 1.
I don't get
same
it.
As it ever was. Same as it ever was.
Ba-da-boom-boom-boom.
Ba-da-boom-boom-boom.
Anyway.
Listen, so you're right. You're right. I don't know what to tell you here. They are starting back at number one again. Marvel, you know what? I'm getting a little tired of it, to be honest with you. There are all these comic companies. They're all going back to number one. I even hear DC is doing the same thing again later on. Avengers number one is going...
They just did a rebirth.
And they just did one, and they're going to do it again. So, you know, we've got Avengers number one, but Legacy number 691. Now, this, of course, is hot off the trails of Marvel's... Avengers Infinity Wars. Can't talk today. Infinity Wars that came out on the weekend, which we'll talk about more on the weekend.
So it was a perfectly timed launch.
This is clearly timed perfectly, and it's interesting who is on the cover of Avengers number one, because it's not the Avengers that you and I grew up with. We have...
your dad's Avengers.
Well, you know, it's got like... It's got Ghost Rider and Doctor Strange and...
Where are these? They're the Defenders.
She-Hulk.
What the heck is that?
It's not the Avengers that we know, but this is the new Avengers. And then, you know, you open up the first page.
Hey, Chris.
What now?
Take a guess.
What? Okay, go ahead.
Paul, take a guess.
Yeah.
Okay. How many heroes were an Avenger?
An Avenger, or are you talking about who was in the
all time?
Oh, okay. I was going to ask who were the original
50?
Avengers.
40, 80?
45.
No way. Way more than that.
You think so?
45. I'm going to say 66.
Do you know? Do you first of all? Do you know the number?
I haven't got a clue.
So you're asking us a question that really I. You know what? I'm gonna say 102.
You might be right.
There you go. Yeah, I'm right. Yeah.
Everyone was an Avenger at one point. Yeah.
Wow. I'm just saying because you know there was a lot of team changeovers, a lot of people coming into the Avengers, a lot of people moving out of the Avengers.
Yeah.
It's been a thing since issue 3.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So,
but the original
Avengers
was. Iron Man.
Captain America.
No, he was not, was he? Was he?
No, he was not.
Later. He came in number four.
Yeah,
issue number four. Yeah. So it was Iron Man.
Hulk. Yeah.
Yeah. Ant-Man.
Wasp.
Wasp.
And there's one more I'm missing.
Thor.
That's the original five, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Not Yor. This guy knows not Yor, the hunter from the future.
Not Yor, though. No.
Remember that movie?
Remember that stupid movie from the 80s? That was terrible.
Which, the guy that played Yor.
Yeah.
Reb Brown was Captain America on those two 1970s Captain America TV movies. Remember where he had the motorcycle?
Yeah.
His windscreen was
the
shield.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, this guy knows his stuff, eh?
This guy knows more than me, but that really ain't saying much.
That really isn't, yeah.
Okay, keep this thing going, Chris. So, what are we talking about right now, by the way?
You know what? We're talking about Avengers 691.
Oh, right.
Number 691, you know, comma 691.
Uh-huh.
Did you read it or look at the pictures?
You know what? I like to look at the pictures. Okay. It's got, but you know, here's
that's nice art.
Here's the thing. When we say here's the thing, you have to say here's the thing.
Oh, here's the thing.
Thanks, thank you. So it's got Jason Aaron doing the writing, Ed McGuinness.
Great writer,
great artist.
Definitely.
And you know what? I don't really know what's going on because all of a sudden you turn the first page and it says Earth 1 million years ago, and it's got like ancient Thor, ancient Moondragon, ancient Hulk, who looks like he's got the Star Brand.
The Hulk was around a million years ago?
Remember that awful Star Brand comic?
Yeah. That was the new universe.
The Hulk has that Star Brand on it.
He looks like Luke Cage with a perm.
No, Brother Voodoo. There you go.
Yeah. Brother Voodoo slash Star Brand slash Hulk. And it's got like some sort of Doctor Strange and then the Ghost Rider and an ancient Black Panther. I don't know what's going on.
A million years ago?
Anyways.
No dinosaurs, obviously.
Hey, Chris. Hey, pass that over, Chris. Hey, listen. I think you all owe it to yourself to head into your local comic book shop and check out Avengers number 1 today.
All right. Next up, we've got Batman number 46.
Whoa.
Now, what is that in real time?
Is that a great question? Yeah, that's a great question.
Because they just did Action 1000, right?
Yeah, that's got to be up to like 900, 800 yeah. soon?
Or I mean, that's 800, the time that would be Detective Comics.
Detective would be close to 1,000.
Detective Batman would be. But Batman's got to be up
150 behind or something like that.
Yeah.
So this one's got the resurgence of Booster Gold, and if anybody cares about him,
I actually enjoyed. It was probably about 10 years ago. Dan Juergens did a Booster Gold series, and it was actually pretty good.
That had a little cult following.
Yeah, it was good. It was decent. I was one of them. You know, I was part of that cult.
I gotta say that
good for you.
So even though
you drank the Kool-Aid.
Even though I'm not a huge fan of Booster Gold, I am a big fan of Tom King, the artist, or sorry, the writer.
The writer, yeah.
And Tony Daniel, the artist, is amazing. So you know what? Regardless of who he brings into this book, it's going to be awesome.
Okay. Now, is that a lead up? Is that a lead up to the big number 50?
Well,
or is it a tie-in? Like, is that a setup?
It's probably a setup. Yeah, it's got Catwoman in it a lot, so I'm sure there's something going on with Catwoman and Batman number 50.
All right. Here, Paul, let me read that off. That is, people, Batman number 46 at your local comic book shop today.
All right, next up. I saw this came out, and I can't believe it's still going.
I haven't heard that name in a
while. Right? So what we're talking about here is Spawn.
Spawn.
Number 285.
Holy
do you remember that comic?
Gross.
Yeah.
Was it come out?
It's still going?
Was it come out once a year
once
now?
Once a year.
You know, it's got Todd McFarlane, who, you know, the creator.
He's still doing it.
He's not drawing.
No, there's no way.
He scripted and plotted it.
Oh, he is.
Plotted meaning, hey, guys, I got an idea.
Yeah, he says two words,
and they have to run with it.
Yeah, go ahead. It's like the old Marvel way of doing
it. He's busy auctioning off his Mark McGuire baseballs.
Right, that nobody cares about anymore.
What are you talking about?
And then we've got Jason Sean Alexander doing the art, who
Wasn't he on Seinfeld?
Sure.
I think he was.
He's doing stand-up at Casino Rama next week. You know what? No, I don't know.
It looks like he just started drawing.
It was the same guy. It's not terrible, but it certainly doesn't suit the Spawn that we know. I don't know. Didn't you
tell Paul before the show started that we have to help sell these things?
I don't don't always do that.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Hey, Spawn 285.
You think you own a shop or something? Eh?
Yeah. Spawn 285 is at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next up, we've got, of course, this is the next big book by Rick Remender. Now, I don't know if you're a big fan.
Of course, I remember him. Yeah.
Do you like Rick Remender? Yeah. Do you like
him? He was one of the guys that sort of the name, when you heard the name, I would be like, okay, I'll check it out.
I think he's terrible, personally.
Why?
He had a run on Captain America that just ruined it. I just
see Chris was a big
I'm going back to the 90s, though. Right?
I think
90s,
I think
history.
He's terrible. But anyways, you know what? You never know what this could be. How he could be on this one. This is. It looks like it's all about some sort of like. I don't know what you want to call it. Some sort of punk chick kind of.
What's the title of the book?
Death or Glory.
Okay.
Number one, $4.99.
Good Iron Maiden.
I actually don't mind the art. I think it's kind of neat. It looks like
that is actually pretty cool.
It's kind of interesting artwork.
Yeah, it is definitely.
I don't like the writer. So
when was that run that he did that Captain America?
2000s. It was in the 2000s. But when he went to the Zola verse,
I checked out.
Arnim Zola's daughter was involved, and he writes as if you already know what's going on.
Okay. Zola, right? Z-O-L-A, Zola. Hey, Death and Glory. Chris Owen hates it. Why don't you go into your local shop?
No, he never said he hated it. He said he hates Rick Remender.
I hate Rick Remender.
Oh, Chris Owen hates Rick Remender.
But you know what?
Why don't you go into your local comic shop?
He just thinks he's a bad writer.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're going to get a Rick Remender Twitter now. He's going to.
Man, I got to get through this. Hey, I think this book is great. Death and Glory at your local comic book shop.
I heard you hate me. And you're going to get Twitter messages from him. They can find you now. They can.
That's
the world we live in. They can find you, man.
Hey, Rick, if you want to say anything about what I've said, go on to comicbookdaily.com and leave a message.
They can find you now.
Absolutely.
Anybody can hear you.
If
you can put it out there, they can find you.
It's out there. It's out there now.
You know what? He's laughing all the way to the bank anyway.
Sure. That's right.
Just like they used to say about Liberace.
That's what he's going
to
say. How many Captain America stories did you ruin? That's all he has to say.
Hey, I've read a lot of Captain America in my time. Anyways, listen.
What have we got next?
We're going to go on to IDW.
Bald is beautiful. Right
Star Trek and the Next Generation Through the Mirror.
Number one.
Now, this is, if I'm correct, this is all about kind of going into the Mirrorverse. Do you remember the Mirrorverse?
I don't know about the Mirrorverse. I remember Mirror.
So that's the same idea.
Right,
yeah,
from
same
the original.
Yeah.
That was the best, one of the best top three shows ever.
Right. Yeah. So, as you can see, they've got all your favorite characters have mustaches
and goatees.
Which makes you evil.
Evil,
yeah, that's
right.
And what's his name there? Number two.
Number two, yeah.
What was his name?
What was his name?
Number two.
No, it was actually number one. But what's his name?
What's his name?
Number one.
On Star Trek Next Generation.
Gonna be
Jonathan
number
Frakes.
One.
What's his character?
Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah, what's his name? Will.
Will Eisner.
No. Whatever. I can't
remember. Anyways. Oh, see, they've
he's
got
his girdle in
and
the
they've
comic
got
anyway.
Jean-Luc Picard's got a beard on.
That's
so
pretty
good. We know that that's the evil one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
right.
You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, I've heard good things about this, and the art is actually very good because it captures the likeness of the different
really
characters.
Yeah.
So you know what? And I've heard good things about it. I got nothing else
they
to
even
say.
They worked in the girdle on number two there. He looks good. He looks slim.
Hey, you know what's good to see, guys? First of all, Star Trek The Next Generation number one at your local comic book shop today through the mirror. You know what's good to see is, because when you come and think about it right now at this moment in time, there's not much going on with Star Trek the property, but you know
that's
how Star
sort of dormant, eh?
Yeah. But you know, hopefully comics are still kind of holding the torch while the next big thing happens.
Yep.
But it's nice to see me being an old Trekkie. Nice to see that the Star Trek property is still a vibrant kind of important property,
totally,
right?
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
And the cool thing about Star Trek that Star Wars wasn't able to pull off, not wasn't, they didn't have to pull off. What am I talking about? The cool thing about Star Trek is the concept has been transferred into seven or eight interpretations.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
the
Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, Star Trek, Next Gen,
Voyager,
Star Trek, Voyager,
Enterprise.
Star Trek, and fans have embraced each one to a degree, right? And they've all found a fan base. I think that's fantastic, and it says a lot to the Star Trek.
Have you watched the latest
premise?
The latest one?
I'm not
Discovery
a fan.
Or?
I've read.
I haven't seen the new one at all.
The first four episodes. I'm not a fan.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Cool. Star Trek. All right. What else we got, Chris?
Okay. Last one. We got to talk about this because it's by a good hometown boy here, Jeff Lemire.
Love Jeff
Lemire.
Great
writer.
Great writer. You know, Black Hammer Age of Doom. So Black Hammer is one of those weird dark horse comics that kind of comes in and out. Usually does miniseries, four issues, six issues, that kind of
thing. Why do I think Mike Mignola when I think Black Hammer? That's wrong, right?
That's wrong. Okay. Yeah, I don't know why. Dark Horse, maybe.
Dark Horse was wrong.
Yeah. But, one time. Yeah, one time. Anyways, you know what? Jeff Lemire's a great writer.
He is.
And the art is cool looking. I gotta tell you,
that is sick.
It's pretty neat, eh?
That's like tattoo material.
Yeah, right. Like it's great artwork, cool, creepy stuff. Yeah,
definitely. Wow.
You know, it's got hey, there's your buddy Joey Ramone as a zombie.
it is, yeah.
Yeah. So
what's the premise?
You know what? The premise here. Let me read you here. They were the greatest heroes of the Lost Era: Golden Age Crime Buster, Abraham Slam, Interstellar Adventurer. It's got America's Super Sweetheart, and then the blah, 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 Champion of the Streets. 10 years ago, the heroes of the Spiral City battled the near-omnipotent cosmic despot that basically destroyed everything. But unbeknownst to everyone, these colorful superheroes found themselves mysteriously transported to a farm in a quiet town where new superheroes don't exist. So, and then
Woodstock
kind of thing. So, yeah, it's interesting concept.
Yeah, it's a good looking book. Dark Horse.
Good looking book. Yeah, I like the way you said that. It's a good looking book.
Dark Horse is always good.
Black Hammer, Don't Hurt Him, Hammer, number one. At your local comic book shop. And Chris just touched on what? Two? How many did you do? Two?
Six.
Six? Three?
Sure, yeah, three. Yeah,
and, of course, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of new titles at your local comic book shop today. So head on in, please.
Thousands. Listen. All right, let's have a quick musical interlude. And this is going to be the first one of... we're going to talk about one of these ones later on in the show. We're not going to... might not get
Paul
to it right
has
away.
Selected the next three musical breaks.
Yeah.
Because we're going to, later in the show, talk about music and comics.
All right. Well, here's the first one. You probably know it. We've played it many times in the past. Of course, it's the Spider-Man theme song.
Wonderful stuff, Chris.
You know what? I miss theme songs.
Catchy too.
I miss theme songs. TV shows don't have a lot of theme songs these days.
No, they have none. They don't have credits.
Have you noticed, right? Hey, my wife noticed. If you notice, like Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So use a lot of the same music, kind of the same.
I got a question you need to ask.
Same type of music.
You want something to ask your wife? Okay, this is what I've noticed on a lot of Netflix shows.
Yeah.
like three or four now in the last month, and I asked people about it, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. There's like a thing that they do where it goes quiet, and I think it's the Alienist has it.
Okay.
And there's several other shows, the new Lost in Space.
Yeah.
And there was a, what's the other one? Black Mirror. What was the
Black Mirror is one of them.
What's the other show that came out? Altered Carbon.
Altered Carbon. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it'll be like a quiet scene and it's intense and you'll hear like this. It's like this electric sort of crackling and
scraping. Oh, I haven't noticed that.
And it's really weird. I thought it was my speakers crackling.
Right, yeah.
And
but it's, they'll do it
but
through
it's an
multiple
effect.
Yeah.
But
they
do it in everything. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I thought it blew my speakers.
But I've heard it with other like tense sequences where it's the same instrument
it sounds like two wires. When you take a wire and you
it sounds
like that.
Yeah, but I've noticed one. It's rep. There's no individuality.
It's like a gimmick that they do.
Yeah,
everything
it's
now.
No individuality.
Yeah.
It's, waters it down a bit.
But you know
it does.
Funny?
I agree.
It's funny you should say that because I've been watching Lost in Space. You mentioned that one.
Okay, what are you thinking?
It's okay.
It's okay. I agree.
And
it's like okay.
And that's how I feel about a lot of these shows on Netflix.
They just exist. They're not really great.
They're okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching Lost in Space because I'm a sucker for the old one. I love the old one. Can I
say to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So like, even watching that show, obviously we were born after, but watching it in syndication after school in the
80s. Every day.
Professor Smith was just the best.
He's awesome.
And then, you know, I mean, and this isn't, I'm not, you know, anti-gender or whatever, but I mean, it's like at the end of the first episode, she turns around, she says, you know, I'm Jonathan Smith.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Not Jonathan Smith. Sorry, not Jonathan. What's his name?
Dr. Smith. I don't know.
What's her first name? Is it Jonathan? I don't know. But I'm like, it's a woman now.
It's Parker Posey.
I mean, obviously it's different. But,
right, right.
But
it's for the times. It's been rewritten.
Yeah, it's just different. And you know what? I just, Gary Oldman played the Dr. Smith in the movie.
And he kind of did it.
He did a good job.
The movie was kind
of you know what? Unfortunately, a lot of these shows are doing these whole kind of flashbacks. Just like Lost kind of started that whole idea of let's go take these characters back into, you know, what were they like before we know them now. And then,
okay,
and
they're like a sort of the retroactive reboot. Yeah.
And they're kind of what these guys got to do, right, when they're making the show, it's not just an homage, right? They obviously want it to catch fire into tonight. Sure. So,
and you have
having
to,
an homage is not going to do it.
It's going to gear
satisfy
towards
a couple of 72-year-olds.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, right? It's not. Yeah. So it's a fine
line.
You got
to gear it to.
Yeah. It's a fine line they got to walk. Yeah.
But I mean, there's a fine line between, you know, decent writing.
I think the three of us sitting at in this fine studio are kind of caught in the middle where we're, you know, our age puts us at kind of traditionalists, but our age also puts us at understanding the change, as opposed to people older than us that are just so diehard, and the people younger than us that
are trying to be tolerant of it.
The people younger than us that are so accepting of change, we're kind of just in that, I get it, but I'm still fighting it. You know what I mean?
Me too. It's we're being dragged, kicking, and screaming into that.
And it's funny because I know a guy that he's only about 10 years older than me. And, He's only 10 years older.
He's old.
Well, only watches like shows like Dick Van Dyke and His Company. All those like 50s shows. Okay, I get it, but man.
Well, to your point, Walt, if I can say something.
Go ahead, Paul.
I just watched a really
cool... The floor is yours.
A cool Alan Moore doing a lecture. And somebody said to him, like, what's your deal with you always don't want to associate with the films of your work? You don't want you give him credit. He's not a hypocrite. He won't.
Right.
He doesn't take the money.
Right.
He doesn't want the credit. And he basically, in a nutshell, to what you were saying about change, he said, there's certain things that I did that were meant for the comic book medium.
Yeah. Right.
They weren't meant to be transferred into a film, and you can't do it. And he goes, and I've had
guys
from Hollywood call me and go, we want to make your movie, but we got to change this, and this. He's like, then why don't you make something else? Because you're calling it V for Vendetta, but it's not. Right? And he said, and he goes, and my name's on it, and I'm proud of my work.
Yeah.
And somebody that doesn't know any different is going to watch the movie and go, what was that? And think that I wrote that.
Yeah.
Right? So what you're saying,
Alan Moore sucks.
So when you're saying about these reboots and stuff, it's like... pick a lane, right? They try to retain the nostalgia, but
when there's money involved,
well, that's the whole thing.
You want that head start of the property being identified already.
Identifiable. Yeah, I understand. I get
it. So it's a catch-22.
And Netflix is just firing out content like left and right. So,
all
right,
listen, guys, let's get to the elephant in the room.
Yeah,
and that is the Avengers movie.
Right.
Oh,
right.
the Avengers movie. Now, out of the three of us in this room,
yes.
One of us seen it.
Yes,
that would be you, Chris. Now, Chris, let me ask you directly.
Yep.
Axed.
What did you think of the movie?
I loved it. That was great. Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna say right now that I'm a fan of all the Marvel movies.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why I'm a fan is I think that right now Marvel movies are doing a better version than the Marvel comics.
Right.
Of
those characters.
You really think so?
Oh, 100%. The movies, I think the characters, I think they're doing a better job at being somewhat traditional.
Of the stuff that's being today, or are we going back to the old stuff?
They're more traditional than by going back to the old stuff than they are today. Like today, it's all, I don't quite get a lot of the Marvel comics.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So not better than the original source material.
What he's saying is in the Marvel movies,
Thor is Iron Man is still Tony Stark. In the Marvel movies,
Thor's not a woman.
But it's not even Thor's just not a woman. I just think they're doing a better job of having coherent stories.
That's part of it.
Well,
they're killing DC's kicking.
Right.
Ass.
So you know what? I love the Marvel movies. I love the fact that it's opened up the doors to a lot of people that would not have known about the Marvel movies.
Uh-huh.
It's made comic books more general. Right. Which I like.
Not comic books. Comic book characters.
But it's becoming more widely known.
Right. But okay, let's talk about that. Chris, let me ask you a few quick questions that I want you to answer with three or four words. When'd you go see it?
Friday night.
I didn't expect that one to be that hard.
Sorry.
Now, packed house.
Packed house.
Audience response.
Loved it.
Applause. Loved it.
Yeah, applause. Yeah.
Your favorite 2-3 characters in the movie?
Thanos. I love Thanos. Yeah.
All right. That's one.
They did a great job of Thanos.
One's not enough.
On the hero side, I'm going to say Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. Yeah, my son told me Doctor Strange was awesome.
So
said he loved Thor.
Thor was great.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say about you. So you mentioned Steve Rogers.
I heard he's like stoic.
One more quick question.
Yeah.
I read that they tried to cram in 76 characters. Did that work?
here's what I'll say about that.
76 Avengers.
I can't explain this in two words.
Uh-huh.
But my short answer is yes.
Right.
Okay. Because.
But then everybody got a little bit
did
of
you
air
find,
time.
Did you find it sensory overload too much?
No.
It
worked. Here's what I'm going to say. You know what? They didn't try to cram in too many characters, but you can't go into that movie and not know about the past movies.
Right.
So if you're going to go into that movie and...
You would have to watch.
So that was a payoff movie.
Right.
That was a... You've invested 9 years.
Yeah, you had been
you've
following
invested
it.
Sitting through, totally. Waiting for totally. The Easter bunnies at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Otherwise
and
it
then,
doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
If you're expecting character development for every single character you're not going to get it.
Okay.
But you got character development of Thanos.
Uh-huh.
So if you want character development of...
The other guys have already been developed.
Go watch the previous 18 movies.
That's right. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Now, is it so it's sets up Thanos?
Sets up
now,
Thanos.
Now, from what I understand, I didn't see it, but I read some.
Hey, spoiler alert. Beep, beep, boop, boop, boop.
Spoiler.
Yep. Is there a spoiler alert here?
Go ahead.
There's more to come. It's not one movie then.
It's not one movie. So for years.
That wasn't a spoiler. We wasted all that beep.
No, well, hold on. So it wasn't.
You
so
just
initially,
assumed.
Initially, they were calling it Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2.
Right.
Then Marvel went back and said, you know what? It's just Avengers Infinity War. It's just a solid movie.
Uh-huh,
and then
solid.
They tricked us.
Hey, let me ask you a question that has a spoiler alert. Beep, boop,
beep,
spoiler
boop,
alert.
Boop, spoiler,
how
spoiler.
Many of the stones has he accumulated as of this movie?
Do you guys actually want to know this? Because I don't want to say
well,
it. I'm
going now. I'm trying to... This is my question.
Okay.
Compared to the Infinity Gauntlet, the story, I understand it's not the same as the comics, which I love.
It's similar.
But
it's similar.
There's no Adam Warlock. The Gauntlet and the stones part of it is the same.
That part's the same.
Okay, don't tell us. Forget it.
So hold on, the Infinity Glove, the Gauntlet, and the Stones are the same.
Mm-hmm.
In the comic, the Infinity Gauntlet, we have Adam Warlock and
his motivation for the Stones is Mistress Death.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
so that's
they never got into the idea. So in the comics, just for our audience here, in the comics, Thanos is actually in love with the goddess of death.
Death.
The actual that's embodiment right. of it's
death.
A person, it's a character of death.
Mm-hmm. Mistress Death.
And
yeah.
she goes on and he basically wants to wipe out the universe for her.
Nice.
In order to show his worth to her. And,
right.
Yeah, she's, yeah.
Right. So in here, he has a different motivation, one that's not entirely upsetting. Like, it's a very interesting motivation. He is crazy. But it's a crazy. Yeah,
you're kind of like he is the mad Titan.
It's almost like they've gone back to the classic. And I mean classic before Infinity.
But he thinks he's doing the right thing.
Right. I'm talking about mad like fantastic like in Iron Man 55 mad Titan.
Yeah. The first appearance. Yeah.
You know, I'm talking like he's crazy.
It's
like,
not too dissimilar.
Oh,
from
that's
Doctor,
good.
It's not too dissimilar from Doctor Doom, right? Doctor Doom thinks he's sort of like he's in the right.
And that's what I get. That's what I kind of meant by Marvel's doing. Marvel movies are doing Marvel better than the comics. They're going back to the original source material.
Well, you know what? I think I was just chatting with Paul before the show a little bit. I don't know where you were. But we were talking about how the Marvel movies now were like Marvel Comics in the 60s.
Totally.
Yeah, 60s, it was like 70s,
the buzz.
80s, yeah.
It was the buzz around, hey, check these guys out. They're doing everything different. Remember Marvel in the 60s? Yeah. Is like DC stayed old corporate schlock.
Yeah.
And then all these young underground
Marvel
type cool
Marvel was the
things.
House of like, ideas.
That's cool. This is connected to that. That's connected to that. Yeah. And in the 60s, people were just latching on to Marvel Comics.
Jack Kirby and his
Yeah. And now Marvel Studios in the last 10 years have kind of replicated
the
first 10 from 61 to 71.
Yeah.
That's happened again with Marvel Studios.
They've taken the comics and put them on the screen.
I'm talking about the development of them, how they tie together. Because that had never been done in movies before to that degree.
The only thing that's ever been done before is that you'd have a trilogy like Star Wars.
A sequel like Godfather or something.
Or you'd have a character like James Bond.
Well, let me ask you this now. So when this all started with Iron Man, when the first movie was being made, okay, so you had Robert Downey, who was basically blacklisted.
Yep.
That was sort of his comeback, right?
Totally his comeback.
So is it Kevin Feige? How do you say his name? Is he kind of head of the MCU?
He's the producer of the... Yeah.
So we had a couple more movies. You had the Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, and you had Blade, you know, which is where Sony kind of got the ball rolling. But, I mean, this is proper, like, one cohesive universe.
Yeah.
Was it all hinging? Like, was that a master plan with Iron Man?
Not at first.
Like, we'll do Iron Man, see how it goes?
Not at first, because at first, all Marvel had was like, well, you know, we've got the rights to this Iron Man.
Because, you know, Iron Man's he was a B character. When the movie came out,
Cap.
I was like, Iron Man's got a movie? That's
Hey, what? Never mind that, Paul. Guardians were C characters.
Oh, my God. They were F characters. As in, forgotten. Like, who even knew? You're bigger on the movies than I am.
Part of the master plan at the beginning.
When did it become a...
You know what happened? So they did the first one, and then Ed Norton hated... Ed Norton was a fan of Hulk, right?
And he did the Hulk, came out the same year
he
as...
He hated the first one that was done with Eric Bana.
The Ang Lee,
hated that. Yeah, he was like, we're going to do one. And then they decided to put that little tidbit at the end, at the very end,
with Iron Man and Stark. Right.
And then they had Iron Man 2 after that. And then from that point on, they caught on to something. They caught on to this fact that you can actually have intertwining movies, and from there it just exploded.
That's when they decided?
Pretty much.
And also based on the box office Iron Man was like, everyone was centered around Tony Stark,
I don't think the intertwining delivered success of that film. The film delivered success based on that film. I think what happened is in this age of...
Well, the first Iron Man was a good movie.
Yeah, okay. Well, my point is this, though. In the intertwining and the Easter bunnies at the end and all the intertwining...
Well, the Easter eggs.
What's it called?
Easter eggs.
Easter bunnies. Okay. In the intertwining and all that, you can't gauge the success of those. But the only way they gauge those is the internet lit on fire.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
People were talking about it. Oh, my God. And they loved it. And so you can't gauge monetarily what those Easter bunnies meant to the bottom line of that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But what you could gauge is the chatter online.
What was the first Easter bunny, though?
I have no idea.
It was Iron Man, the first one with Jeff Bridges as the villain, who was exceptional
awesome
in that.
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
Uh-huh.
There was no Easter eggs, was there?
The only thing that they had at the very end of that one was they had Samuel L. Jackson coming in and talking to Iron Man, saying, we're thinking about doing this thing called the Avengers Initiative.
Yeah, so that was an Easter.
Was that in the first movie?
That was in the very first one.
That wasn't the step down from the donut scene. That was in the second one or whatever. No,
the donut
scene,
the shawarma scene, you mean?
No, when he was on the top of the donut shop, and then he said, come down from the donut.
Oh.
That was when he was drinking and boozing. I think that was number 3.
I remember that, yeah.
But there was something...
I think that was the first one. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Because I remember the Hulk one. So the Hulk came out, I think 2 months after the first
Iron
Man, right?
The Hulk came out, and then that's where they met in the bar.
That's where they were in the bar. And he said, that's the sound of... I can't remember what he said.
Sound of silence.
Progress or something like that.
Whatever. He's drinking.
They met in the bar, and then that kind of...
So that from that got everybody chatting on the internet.
Yeah, and that's... I think the buzz of the internet got everybody excited.
And then they said, let's do Captain
Let's do this, let's do that, let's keep doing it. And then they start planning it, and then the old meetings. Look, JB, I think we're on to something,
And then they changed things, right? Because you know what? Like, they had, initially Captain America had the Cosmic Cube, and then they changed it to their own liking, so the Cosmic Cube became the Tesseract, which then became, you know, oh, actually...
Now, why did they do that?
One of the gems is actually inside outside of that.
You always hear people go, they dumb everything down for the film audience. But to me, a cosmic cube is easier to remember than a Tesseract.
Because you know what they needed.
Yeah, I know. Eh? I know.
They needed to be able to. They wanted to use that for later on. For so later. They called it the Tesseract.
Okay.
You know, and then later on they call it. You know, they say, oh, actually, there was one of the gems was actually in the cosmic cube.
In the cube, okay.
Right. So uh-huh. They kind of,
and the stones are like completely not with who they were with in the comic.
No,
right?
No, it's completely different.
Very complicated.
That was a Thanos quest.
Thanos quest.
Went around and killed everybody to take the stones.
That's right.
Very complicated plot lines. The gardener and a lot to cover. Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Yeah. Jim Starlin is
now Chris
genius.
Would you, from what I read online. Is that people are going because there's so much to absorb.
Yes.
People are going back a second, third time.
Oh, 100%. To catch everything. 40 minutes. You know what? Yeah. If I.
But I'm talking about just the amount of information overload because you can cameo 76 characters, but it's still 76 characters.
There's a lot of stuff going on, and I'll be honest, there's not 76, but there's a lot.
That's what I read. I read 76.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, when you say 70, like who are you talking about, though?
Like Marvel characters. That's what I read. I could be wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, there's lots of characters going on.
Hey,
what was
Stan
one.
Lee? No, that's spoiler alert.
I don't want to
forget
spoil that.
Spoiler alert.
Lots of stuff going on, and 100%, even the people that I went with that normally only go to movies once in a lifetime, they wanted to go see it a second time. So it's they loved it, but yes, they all said they want to see it again.
Fantastic. So. All right, listen, we could talk about Avengers till the cows come home.
And we might.
All right.
Hey, speaking of that, do you remember...
Special edition, two-hour episode.
The Avengers Infinity War.
Speaking of cows, do you remember that was the second issue of, or first issue of Fantastic Four when Reed Richards turned those Skrulls into cows? That was his answer. When an alien invasion comes down, these Skrulls, these characters from outer space come down, and rather than kill them, he couldn't bring himself to kill them. He turns them into cows.
Remember Gary Larson, The Far Side?
Yeah.
That one panel cartoon that was in the newspapers?
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite ones of all time was a Sunday one where it had like three panels.
Okay.
And there was a picture of cows in the meadow. And they were all standing on their hind legs talking to each other. And then the one goes... Car, right? And then the next side of the car goes by, and they're all grazing on four legs. And then it goes by, and then the third one, they're all standing up. Yeah.
Don't
anyway,
let anybody
all right,
know.
Chris, hitting us with some music.
All right, listen, let's. We're gonna continue on. This time, I'm sure you've heard this one before. This one's all about the Batman.
So weed. I love that one.
That's a classic.
Yeah, I mean, absolute classic. What would be more classic, that one or the Spider-Man? Spider-Man.
I'll tell you right now.
Because they both came out, what, 67, 68?
You're a rock and roll guy? I'm going to tell you.
I like Spider-Man
better. This is how you define it.
Okay.
I saw Aerosmith in 1987 at Maple Leaf Gardens.
Oh, sweet.
And in between songs. Whatever they were fiddling around tuning and Joe Perry started playing the Batman lick.
Really?
They all came in and they started jamming it.
Yeah.
That to me, because you can't really do the Spider-Man song.
That's more jazz.
Live, right? That's more jazz. So for a classic rocker, I think that's...
Yeah, you're right. I love jazz.
So do I.
I do too. I'm a huge jazz fan.
Jazz fan.
I actually have a 91.1 on in the car.
Hey, listen. Second part of Industry News is brought to you by Free Comic Book Day. I cannot stress to you enough, the dear listener, to head into your local comic book shop this Saturday, May 5th, and support your local comic book shop in their Free Comic Book Day endeavor. Please. All right, so we're going to head out now and talk to Paul. Paul, now you're an accomplished musician. You,
accomplished.
Well, you are.
I made my living. Doing it for many years.
So. You're a drummer. All right, do you play other instruments?
I'm a drummer, which is I've been told technically that's not really a musician.
You know, my dad.
I got to hang around with musicians.
So, my dad was a musician. My dad played. My dad played saxophone. And actually, once he retired, he taught saxophone for a number of years.
Beautiful.
And
love sax.
My dad's one of my dad's favorite jokes was because he was a sax jazz guy, right? You got to remember what drummers did back then.
Back in the day, yeah.
So his favorite Maniacs. Joke, his favorite joke was, "Hey, are you a musician? No, I play drums."
Yeah. Hence what I said.
he was back because he was used to was the snares, right? Just the kind of the keeping time.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Well, depending on Buddy Rich and Gene Krupa.
Oh, those guys were
amazing. Those are crazy. Those are awesome. Crazy. Stuff.
Yeah. My favorite moment, my favorite joke from Santa and His Old Lady from Cheech and Chong.
Oh God.
Was where Cheech goes, "Hey, I goes, hey, you know, no, Santa Claus, man, you know, he's the guy who in front of the department store, you know. Oh yeah, I played with that dude, man." And then the other guy goes, "Ah, oh, Santa Claus ain't a musician, man." And then Chong goes, "You're telling me, man, that cat didn't know anything." You know, so that was my favorite.
Yeah, I've heard.
So okay, so Paul, so I know. Just very quickly, tell us what kind of things you've done in the past of your lifetime as a musician. You had a band, I know.
My lifetime, okay. Well,
yeah. How much time do you have?
Five minutes. Two minutes.
Okay. 2 minutes.
So you want the clean, abridged, the clean stuff. Yeah. Reader's the business stuff, versus, the working stuff. Yes. I was a session player in the States, United States of America.
Uh-huh. America.
Long time before Trump was the president,
uh-huh.
in the 90s.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I wasn't afraid to go back there.
Right on.
Yeah.
So I worked for Sony in Nashville. Cool. Did some work in L.A.
Cool.
And then,
cool
and
for
then
you.
I played various bands, cover what? Bands. Yeah. Know, played the circuit.
Yeah.
Four or five nights a week for cover years. Bands?
What kind of style do you lean your drum playing toward?
Like bands I
would like. What? Okay, you're playing some cover bands. You do session music. Are you
okay? Well, I did
a
little bit.
Interchangeable.
Yeah, when I did sessions, I did country. I did, but I mean, it was, you know, that was the start of that new country, which is rock. Was
right.
Yeah, rock, yeah, drums. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't right. Like Waylon Jennings, which is, you know, mm-hmm. the kind of stuff I like to listen to.
Right on.
But some jazz.
Yeah. Right.
And then, you know, yeah, like
now one of the rock. first times I met you, I remember you were telling a story of this is a long time ago. You were telling a story of something to do with Lemmy and a pinball machine or something like that.
Oh, slot machine.
The video slots.
Okay,
the Wonder and Bandit.
And he was playing that or something with you? Or?
Yeah, and I was in so I'm a huge Motorhead fan. It's probably my favorite band.
Yeah, ever. Who isn't?
Yeah.
And I was I'm living in Los Angeles, and I'm literally living three blocks from, you know, the Sunset Strip, kind of
cool.
Right. I can
cool.
walk.
And, yeah.
So I went into the Rainbow Bar and Grill, which is I heard all the stories. You got to go to the Rainbow, and
uh-huh.
know, everybody's. Oh, yeah, that's where Motley Crue and Van Halen. And I'm like, right, F that. I want to, you know, the yeah. Doors and Hendrix and
right,
Keith
right,
Moon
yeah.
and John
old,
Lennon.
Old school.
Do you know the yeah. Hollywood Vampires, which was Keith Moon, John Lennon, Alice Cooper, and there's one other guy in there. I don't know if it was Jim Morrison or something. But they had an underground thing where they would go beneath in the basement of
that is fantastic. Of, really? I didn't even know that.
Whiskey or the Rainbow? But they had a private.
Right,
it was like private only, and they would
the Viper Room.
No way.
So those are the guys. And then of course, you know, Motorhead Lemmy, right? Yeah. So I go in there and he's sitting there and he's just matter of fact doing his thing, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. You know, it's Lemmy. And the guys are with their LA natives. They're like, yeah, he's here all the time.
He's here all the time, man. Yeah. He's a lush.
Who cares?
Yeah.
He's always here.
Yeah.
We talk to him all the time. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm you kidding me? I'm from you know, Hamilton, Toronto. You know what I mean? So when am I going to? So I walked up to him and.
Hey, big fan.
I said, hey, Lem, I'm a big fan. I said, I'm actually from Toronto, Ontario, so I'm not some, you know, typical LA guy. So what are the chances of me meeting you? So he kind of looked and he was playing and he said, you know, in his voice, you know, oh, Toronto, you know,
Toronto.
And he said, you just played there. And I said, when? He goes, 2 weeks ago. And I said, where'd you play? And he says, the Warehouse, which is the cool house.
Yeah,
thing, right.
Yeah.
And I was like impressed that he actually remembered where he played.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
2 weeks ago. Ask Ozzy Osbourne the same question. Right?
Yeah.
Right. But, so I just said, and I didn't ask for an autograph. I was just cool. I said, hey man, I just, you know, want to shake your hand. And then, I said, you know, I've got Ace of Spades on vinyl autographed by, you know, you, Fast Eddie Clark, and Phil Taylor, the original Motorhead.
Uh-huh.
And he looks at me and he goes, you know, at the time. All right, he says, "You're too bloody young to have my autograph." How old were you then? And I said, "Well, it wasn't me." I said, "My aunt,
right,
stood in line at Sam the Recordman on Young Street in 1980 and got your autograph."
And he says, "And by the way, my aunt's got the hots for you." Let me.
Well, no. So he goes, "What the hell? That's bad luck." He says, "I said, what is?" He says, "You can't pass down autographs. That's bad luck." And I said, "My aunt, 2 years later, got into Lionel Richie and all that crap. She doesn't want the album." I said, "She gave it to me." I said, "What do you care?" Right? Yeah. And he says, "Oh, fair enough, mate. You know,
why don't you grab me a pipe, mate?"
That was awesome. The story I told you. Yeah. You remember that, eh?
I do remember very well.
That's fantastic.
Well. Because what killed him, and you gotta remember, so. Comic book nerd, this we met like 20 years ago or whatever
in the Silver Snail
in
Hamilton downtown
30 years ago.
You worked there.
So whatever
you're
it was,
tell the story. 30, I remember this.
Well, so I'll,
I didn't know it was you.
Well,
until after.
This might be a different story. I just remember you're telling this story, and so here I'm kind of like, wow, I'm kind of like, this is a cool story. I want to talk to this guy, and then you know, so I'm talking to them, talking to Paul, and he's like, "So what's going on with the Flash these days?" And I was like,
"No, I want to hear about Lemmy.
I want to talk about Lemmy. You just want to talk to me about the Flash."
Hey, a
comic,
man.
Because he was there talking about comics.
You know what it was, because I was on the road turning around. I was on the loop. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
And so we were just,
and we went back to your first love,
and
which
then we were
is
talking
comic
with
books.
G.I. Joe. Right. Remember, right. You and I were talking about G.I. Joe a lot.
G.I. Joe, yeah. And then he told me to come in here.
Yeah,
right on. Right on.
Or sorry, not here, but Big B Comics, and
right,
come to Hamilton.
I love that plug.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, now Paul. Now, I got a little bit for us here.
Yeah.
How are we doing on time?
We got about 15 minutes.
Woo! All right. So, Chris and I... Now, listen. Chris and I, on this show, we love Krantz. We might not be able to get to all of our topics that we discussed before, but, like, Krantz, the Batman theme that we just played.
Yeah.
You were mentioning to us before the show started the Scooby Doo guys. It's all just throwaway pop jingle thing to us. But behind it, some fantastic musicians.
Guys
that
were like touring with Count Basie and
oh my god,
and really?
Is that amazing?
In the 50s.
Now you mentioned to us before the show that the Krantz, that was Toronto.
Toronto.
Is that true?
RCA Studios, Toronto.
Our what?
RCA.
RCA. Studios. Oh, RCA. Okay.
Toronto. Yeah.
So all that music that we heard.
We thought it was New York.
Which
beamed out to to all over the United States, I guess, at that time.
You know, there's no idea of who the players were though, eh? Like
the players are is very vague.
Just like session guys that would come in and into the RCA studio.
Yeah, I think it was. I think basically the deal was a lot of that stuff was like the guys running the studios and even in Hollywood or wherever. Like the one guy that I don't know if it was the he did the the guy that did the Spider-Man theme.
Yeah.
No, sorry, the Batman theme. I think he did the music for like the Odd Couple TV series and a bunch of different shows. Yeah. But I think it was like the guys back then. They all kind of, like the guys that ran the studios. All knew the jazz music, the musicians.
So they went to the go-to guys.
And
hey, guys,
it was
come
simple
up with
as that.
For
hey,
us.
You want, we need a jingle or a thing for a show I'm developing. Can you come in? And we'll book to give you the studio time. We'll pay X amount and we'll do
right.
it. Yeah. And then those guys went and just got the session guys. It was sort of like the Wrecking Crew. You've heard of those guys, they're
right?
Like the LA answer to the Muscle Shoals guys.
Muscle Shoals guys,
know?
Yeah.
And then the Motown guys were the. You know the Motown session guys. What was their they had a
I thought that was Muscle Shoals. No, that's not Muscle Shoals.
Muscle Shoals is Alabama.
Yeah,
they
were doing Aretha Franklin and all those people. The something brothers.
The Funk Brothers.
Funk Brothers. Yeah.
So,
Funk Brothers.
But these guys were doing records for all these artists, and I think it was like one of those things. You want to make an extra whatever in those days, right? You want to make an extra $70 bucks?
Yeah, sure.
You know, they would come in and lay down the tracks, and was paid. It was work for hire, and they walked.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So the guy that did the one that's interesting
and like some of the iconic things that we're listening to all
they're
the
like,
time,
like throwaways.
Just throwaway stuff. It's mind-boggling.
The interesting one is the Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
great.
Ben Reilly. And he was a New Yorker guy, but he was an arranger, and he wrote all kinds of songs for Nat King Cole and arranged songs for like Nat King Cole, Dinah Shore.
Unbelievable.
Eddie Fisher, Lou Rawls, all these guys, you know.
Lou Rawls.
That's
Love Lou Rawls.
When he did the Scooby-Doo theme,
they
wanted to just pay him off.
Like, right.
Time, write the song, do the session, here's your check,
yeah,
and off you go. And he said, no. He says, I'm not, I want a royalty.
Really?
I love that. And I love hearing that. A guy that's just like,
they loved it.
He might have been a studio comic fan, Chris. Yeah. He might have been onto it, right?
Well, the studio loved it, and he's like, well, you know, I'm not going to sign a license to it until I get a contract, royalty in perpetuity.
Right. Yeah.
And so he got money every time that, how many times did that show air?
Billion times. Isn't that amazing?
So,
that's fantastic. That is a great story.
Yeah. I mean, so you get guys like that.
Now, I mean, okay, there's three. I'm generalizing massively and going a little bit off topic, but I'm not really. You know, the world of pop music, the world of sports, which is popular culture, and the world of comics / movies, popular culture, right? Like music and sports and comics never mix.
No, they've
never
tried.
Mix.
They've
right?
tried so many times.
Right.
Geeks and jocks.
Right. But music and comics can mix.
Yeah.
You see like MF Doom, the rappers, and you see like, I mean, just Word Burglar, talking about Kranz. There's a bit more of a mixing between music and comics.
Which is weird because you would think that even sports guys would grow up. Watch that stuff and heard that stuff.
Yeah, but
I guess it became uncool at some point.
Well, you know, it depends on the era. Like, you know, I know that I know like people like my, you know, I had family members that were into sports, and they would look down at my stuff that was like comic book stuff.
Yeah,
and like that's all. Yeah,
they were smacking the stuff. They were smacking the guys stuff. Around reading comics.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
you know what the irony is?
Yeah,
they're all lining up to go take their kids to see Avengers: Infinity War.
Avengers 4,
I used to beat up a kid that used to read this crap.
Well, you know what's funny? Like I remember being in university and talking about comic books, and somebody came up to me and said, "You know what? In 20 years, 30 years, well, they did. They said, but in 20, 30 years, you're going to be considered an art historian.
Because
I knew about that stuff back then.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, that will never happen. Like,
yeah.
No one ever. Now you can see it.
But now I can see it, right? Because but back then, you know, I was a kid that had the Daredevil hat that nobody wanted to talk to.
Who's Daredevil? Now it's...
All right, guys. I got a little little questionnaire for us. I don't know if you guys want to go into. So I've listed a few... Paul, this is more for you, but Chris, you and I can participate.
All right.
I've listed a few comic book characters. The alter egos.
Yep.
The guys wearing the suits.
Yep.
Okay.
I want to know what kind of music these guys or girls would be listening to singing.
Okay.
All right. So, for example, let's go with Frank Castle.
Punisher.
What kind of music's he into?
Megadeth.
death metal.
Megadeth's not quite death metal.
So is he though?
Well, I'm gonna tell you real quick trivia. There's a song by Megadeth called "Holy Wars: The Punishment Due."
Uh-huh.
And the second verse is it starts off with they killed my wife and my baby.
Right.
And it goes into a hole, and it's actually written about the Punisher.
Oh, right. Wow. Right.
Okay.
Right. So I don't know. Maybe, I mean, now, unless he needs some serenity after he's.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know.
What do you think? What would amp you up and get you fired up if you're Frank Castle?
I was going the same way with Serenity. Like, does he listen to like Beethoven when he goes?
Yeah, exactly.
I just said Megadeth because of that, but I mean, from a character standpoint.
How about Matt Murdock? What's he listening to? These are hard.
Anything in Braille. No.
I'm going to say jazz.
Jazz. Matt Murdock's hearing sense is heightened.
So I would say...
So he can hear the intricacies of
jazz.
I'd say jazz.
And what do lawyers listen to?
ELO. Lawyers. Don't get me started on them.
All right. Tony Stark.
I didn't say rock.
Well, he listens. He had AC/DC cranking again. Black Sabbath and AC/DC. When he got bombed in the movie, wasn't it AC/DC he was listening?
Yeah,
to?
Yeah, that's Marvel.
I think
he's a lounge singer.
A lounge singer.
No.
I think he's got the lounge music going.
Hey, he was an alcoholic in the comics, right?
That's right.
So what would you put on if you're drinking? Frank Sinatra.
I'm going with rock and roll.
Now Mel Torme. He's listening to Torme all night long.
Well, his creation was preceded heavy rock. So what would it be in the 60s?
Oh, that's true.
Right.
That's
so Mel Torme,
that's
you're right.
That's a great point. Yeah. That's
Mel
a very
Torme.
Good point.
Yeah.
Mel Torme.
As heavy as
How about
a
Luke Skywalker?
Luke Skywalker. Oh, man.
You know what I think?
The Pumpkinhead guys
emo
in the
self-inflicting whiner music.
Emo. Yeah, he is a whiner.
He is the worst whiner.
That actually should have been the name of the last movie. It should have been Star Wars Luke Skywalker is a whiner.
The last whiner.
I want to hurt
myself. It's a whiny P word. I'm not going to say the word, but...
I want to hurt myself music. That's what he listens to. He's the worst.
The whiny emo.
How about Diana Prince? What's she listening to?
She's listening to, you know what? She's listening to like that progressive, you know, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar.
Oh, Helen Reddy.
Carole King. Yeah. No, that's lame. Beyonce.
Disco.
Beyonce.
Disco.
Oh, Dazzler. She's listening to Dazzler.
What's the?
She's listening to Dazzler.
Who's that?
Lady Gaga. No, not Lady Gaga. Really, yeah, I know what he's talking about. Lady Marmalade. She's listening to Dazzler.
Yeah, I'll get it.
A Marvel character.
Yeah,
that's her guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I love Dazzler.
Okay, all right. Peter Parker, what's he listening to? Young teenager.
The Beatles.
The Beatles.
Oh, in the 60s. Are you talking about now? Well, he came out in the 60s. Okay, so now he's listening to.
You're too classic.
So he's listening to Maroon 5 or something.
Maroon 5?
Or who's hip today? I don't even know who's. Foo Fighters.
No, MC5. Fighters. He's listening to the MC5.
He's not a rocker?
No. All right.
I'm too classic. He says MC5. They haven't done an album in like 100 years.
Top 40?
What's top 40?
I don't know, whatever that is.
Judas Priest take the top five. I mean, what does this define?
Okay, well, right. New music.
Katy Perry?
Yeah, Katy Perry.
That's another song, but that's the other roar. I'm going to hear you roar.
How about Luke Cage? What's he listening to?
Oh, it's got to be N.W.A.
I don't know. Angry
African American music.
I was thinking more like maybe like P-Funk, some Parliament or something.
Parliament, yeah. Because
he's like
George,
70s.
George Clinton. Yeah, yeah. Oh, now we're going to see. I'm too classic, but now it's okay for you to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, see, well, it only works okay. for me.
What about like
for
the Delphonics? You know,
it would have been like jive stuff from the 70s. Yeah,
The Bee Gees,
Commodores.
No,
Brick House, Commodores, that kind of stuff. Right,
she's a brick.
Yeah, how?
It's Lionel Richie, right?
All right, I got a couple more here. This one's for Chris. What does Steve Rogers listen to, Chris?
Oh, that's that's swing.
Benny Goodman.
Yeah, I don't even think he's too uptight to listen to anything. He's an uptight dude. Very serious.
How about Logan? What's Logan listen to?
Whoa. Rush. He's Canadian. Rush. Come on. Tragically Hip.
Northern Pikes.
There you go.
To the Northern Pikes.
Pikes. Who are the other guys that sang the guy?
Who are those down homers?
The Stampeders.
Chilliwack.
Yeah. Sweet City Woman. The Stampeders.
No, those down homers. Nova Scotia way there.
Oh, the
Riverboat guys. I don't know what the hell.
Riverboat guys.
Newfoundland?
Yeah, Newfoundland guys or Nova Scotia guys. The something, their name of the band. They're all like folk.
The Crash Test Dummies?
No. Maybe some Gordon Lightfoot.
Lightfoot, yeah.
Yeah. All right. all right, I'm going to do one more. Let me pick it really quick. What is Bruce Banner?
Yeah.
Bruce Banner.
What's he listening to? Because he's got to be careful.
He's got to go. I'm going to say classical.
Yeah.
Because he's got to stay calm.
Most calming music possible.
Yeah, a little bit of Mozart,
Mozart. All right.
Chopin.
Yeah, Chopin.
Fair enough. Beethoven. Good job, guys. Yeah. Chris, how are we doing for time?
We got 30 seconds.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Hey, we're supposed to do a whole thing on Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah. So listen, what's going on with Free Comic Book Day?
It's this Saturday, May 5th. Head into your local comic book shop. The selection this year is fantastic. Marvel really came to the plate. DC kind of went wah, wah, wah. Star Wars has got a cool one. There's just a whole bunch of ton stuff going on. So I don't know what your local comic book shop is, but wherever you are, head into it because they've got the place all decked out. They're ready for you. They got their comics ready to give away for free. We hope to see you at our shop this Saturday. Big B on Upper James in Hamilton. And
we have to thank Paul for being here today.
Yeah, we got to thank Paul for being here today. We want to remind everybody that the show was produced and engineered by Chris Owen. We're on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. Thanks to us,
and, as usual.
And now the ratings are going to go up.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Paul.
Yeah.
And we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. So please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.
Thanks, guys.
CFMU sick of studying like for exams in silence? Need that extra groove to keep you awake while...
We have surpassed the goal for this year's Raise Your Voice fundraiser, making our 40th year a special one. Stay tuned to 93.3, and we'll keep bringing you the interesting and informative programming we're known for, Check us out at cfmu.ca for more of the same, plus program archives, blogs, and videos. Thanks for supporting CFMU Community Radio.
Sick of studying for exams in silence? Need that extra groove to keep you awake while you pull that all-nighter? Look no further. CFMU's got you covered. Search for Local Study Playlist on Spotify. That's Local Study Playlist. To hear some of Hamilton's best finds curated for your productivity both on and off campus. Or check out the header on our Facebook page for more details. Only at 93.3 CFMU, redefining radio in your community.
On my honor, I gon' try. There's a duty to be done, and I say, well,